Let us read those mantras or the second section of the first mundaka once, so you'll remember where we are. Om Tadetat Satyam. The 13 mantras in second section of first mundaka. I'm reading those mantras now. Tadetat Satyam Mantreshu Karmani Kavayo Yanya Pashyan Tanitretayam Bahudhasantatani Tanya Charathaniyatam Satyakamaha Yeshav Pantha Sukrutasya Loki Yadalelayate Hyarchihi Samiddhehavyavahane Tadajyabhagavantarena Ahutihi Pratipadayet Yasyagnihotramadarshamapurnamasam Achaturmasyam Managrayanam Atithivarjitancha Ahutamavaishvadevam Avidhinahutam Asaptamam stasya lokan hinasti Kali karali chamano javacha Sulohitaya cha sudhumravarna Sphulingini visvaruchi cha devi Lelayamana iti sapta jihvaha Yeteshu yascharate bhrajamaneshu Yathakalam chahutayo hyadadayan Tam nayantyeta suryasya rashmayaha Yatra devanam patireko dhivasaha Yehyehi titamahutayasu varchasaha Suryasya rashmibhar yajamanam bahanti Priyam vacham abhivadantyorchayantyaha Yeshavah punya sukruto brahmalokaha Plavahete adrudha yajnya ropaha Ashtadashoktamavaram yeshu karma Etachreyo ebhinandanti mudhaha Jara mrityunte punareva piyanti Avidyaya mantare vartamanaha Swayandhira panditam manyamanaha Janghanyamanaf pariyanti mudhaha Andhenaivaniyamana yathandhaha Avidyayam bahudha vartamanaha Vayam kritartha ityabhimanyanti balaha Yat karmino na pravedayanti ragat Tenaturaha kshina lokas chavante Ishtapurtam manyamana varishtam Nanyachreyo vedayante pramodhaha Nakasya prishthe te sukrute no bhotva Imam lokam hinataram vavishanti Nakasya prishthe te sukrute no bhotva Imam lokam hinataram vavishanti Tapashraddhe yehyupavasantyaranye. Yes, they are taught these mantras. I'm sure until now, whatever you have learned, you must be able to thoroughly, properly break and read the mantras correctly. Okay. Tapashraddhe yehyupavasantyaranye Shanta vidvamso bhikshacharyam charantaha Suryadvarena te virajaf prayanti Yatramrutasa purusho hyavyayatma. So, we have already seen how the person was given to the discipline of performing rituals, enjoys the benefits while living in this world And after the death also, he enjoys the result in the form of going to higher lokas in subtle form. Surgaloka. And when the punyam gets exhausted, he will be coming back to this world again, assuming a different body in keeping with whatever punyam he has. One's own karma palam determines the type of body the person assumes. The male body or a female body, the parentage, everything is determined by one's own punya papa. And now, in the 11th verse, the 11th mantra, the second section, Upanishad also talks about the person, the vanaprastha ashrama person, the vanaprasthi, the person who was taken to the vanaprastha ashrama, life of a vanaprastha ashrama, who lives as a vanaprasthi. Such a person lives a meditative life, living in the jungle. And we saw here, he follows strictly all the disciplines to be followed by a person of vanaprastha ashrama. Tapaha. Then Shraddha, I told you already, Shraddha here means the person practices upasanam by meditation. Because the person must have Shraddha in the Shastram, Shraddha in the Upasanam, Shraddha in the Devata, Shraddha in Ishvara. Means Shraddha means unflinching faith. Only then he can practice meditation. Therefore, the word Shraddha gives a different meaning, as I told you. So following those disciplines, this person lives a meditative life in the jungle. Those people, vanaprasthis, they, as a result of which, they become relatively highly peaceful, undisturbed minded, shantaha. And vidvamsaha means the people of vanaprastha ashrama who are given to the discipline of saguna brahma upasanam, meditators. Vidvamsaha means here meditators, and they have living on alms, bhiksha charyam charantaha, living their lives on alms, they live there. And such people, when they live a clean life, meditative life in the jungle, and when the parabdha gets exhausted, when they also leave the physical body, after leaving the physical body, suryadvarena, through the solar path, virajaha, those people who got purified of their all sins and impurities, prayanti, they go to brahmaloka, yatra where saha amrutaha avyatma purushaha asti, where Brahma, the one who is relatively not subject to any decay and change, and one who is said to be relatively immortal and eternal, that Brahma lives. He goes there. Nesta explained already, even this, the status of being the Brahma also is there only for a given period of time. From Srishti to Pralaya, one can enjoy the status of being Brahma and can be there in Brahma Loka. So even this, the position of being a Brahma also is impermanent. It is not absolutely permanent. So as long as a person has punyam, one can live one's life in Brahmaloka or Swargaloka or any higher loka. When the punyam will get exhausted, because punyam has a beginning, it will have an end also. The person has to come back to this world. And if a person goes to Brahmaloka, the person may have to come back to this world, or there's a possibility of attaining karma muktihi. Anyway, there is no sadyo muktihi. There's no immediate moksha. Sadyo muktihi is not there. Because no karma upasanam, no upasana phalam can resolve ignorance. This we learned yesterday in yesterday's class. Then finally, we came to the important verse. Let us read this verse. Parikshalokan karmachitan brahmanah. You must memorize this verse. Parikshalokan karmachitan brahmanah. Nirvedamayan nastyakrutah kritena. Nirvedamayan nastyakrutah kritena. Tadvijnanartham sagurumeva bhigachet. తద్విజ్ఞానార్థం సగురుమేవాభిగచ్చేత్ సమిత్పాణిశ్రోత్రియం బ్రహ్మనిష్టం సమిత్పాణిశ్రోత్రియం బ్రహ్మనిష్టం పరీక్ష్యలోకాన్ కర్మచితాన్ బ్రాహ్మణః నిర్వేదమాయాన్ నాస్త్యకృతః కృతేన తద్విజ్ఞానార్థం సగురుమేవాభిగచ్చేత్ సమిత్పాణిశ్రోత్రియం బ్రహ్మనిష్టం. ఓకే, ఫస్ట్ భగవాన్ సేస్, వెన్ అ పర్సన్ లివ్స్ అ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మయోగ, దెన్ హీ యాజ్ అ గ్రహస్థ, బికాస్ దిస్ పర్సన్ హ్యాస్ పురుషార్థ నిశ్చయ. దిస్ పర్సన్ నోస్ మోక్ష ఇస్ ది అల్టిమేట్ గోల్, therefore he is committed to the pursuit of jnanam also, but at the same time he is not yet ready for the attainment of jnanam, therefore he lives a disciplined life of karma yoga as a grihastha. Then he also goes through discipline of meditation as a vanaprasthi, as a person of next stage. Then what happens, because this person lived a clean life of dharma, living a life of karma yoga, living as a vanaprasthi means one must have definitely understood the value of dharma, one must have lived strictly a life of dharma. As a result of which, see, living a life of, shastram says, living a life of dharma consciously in conformity with the universal values definitely makes a person live his life with more alertness. When a person lives his life consciously with more alertness, that he should not go against dharma, that alertness contributes for his intellectual sharpness. There's a connection. Buddhi tikshnata. Okay? How buddhi, a person becomes intellectually sharp. Which, how? Because he lives his life consciously with all alertness, a life of dharma. So, kimartam dharma anushthanam, how does living a life of dharma contribute for mental preparedness, means one of the reasons. Okay, because you live consciously dharma, therefore it contributes for mental sharpness. That is why such a clean person who lived his life, clean life in conformity with dharma, is said to be here a brahmanaha. Why? Because who is a brahmanaha? Let me make it very clear. Of course, Shastram talks about a brahmanaha means the person who is born in the family of brahmanas. Brahmana varne jataha. The person who is born in the family of brahmanas, whose parents are brahmanaha, jati is called jati brahmanaha. Jatya saha brahmanaha. By birth, he is a brahmana. So, Upanishad does not talk about the jati brahmana here. Then there is a brahmanaha who is, by profession, he is a brahmanaha, known as karma brahmanaha, karmana brahmanaha, jatya brahmanaha, karmana brahmanaha bhavati. Kaha, who is that person? The one who is given to that profession of, first of all, if a person is given to the discipline of studying the Veda Shastram, so if he is given the discipline of studying the Veda Shastram, then he is a brahmana. And it's not enough if he study, given to study of Shastram, if he also teaches what he has learned, if he lives his life as a teacher of the Veda Shastram also, he is a brahmana. So, patati anyan patayati, patanam patanam of the Veda Shastram. So, adhyenam adhyapanam of the Veda Shastram he does. Adhyenam, himself he learns. Adhyapanam, he is involved in teaching others. And not only he studies the Veda, he teaches the Vedas to others. That's not just the teaching of the chanting of mantras. He also understands the meanings, which means he himself knows the know-how of rituals. So he knows the performance of rituals. Thereby he also teaches others how to perform rituals. And he himself makes others perform rituals also. Swayam yajate anyan yajayati. So yajanam means himself performs rituals, he also makes others perform rituals, invoking the grace of devatas, is also Brahmana karma. Not only that, this person as a Brahmana is very compassionate, and he also shares what he gets from, what he gets as his own dakshina. He gives, and he is also eligible to receive from others. The one who is Grannati Dadati, such a person is a Brahmana who is a Karma Brahmanaha. He is a Brahmanaha by profession. So even Karma Brahmanaha is not mentioned here as a Brahmanaha. The word Brahmanaha in this mantra does not mean a Jati Brahmanaha or Karma Brahmanaha. One who is a Brahmana by birth or by profession. But here Shastram talks about the person who is a Brahmanaha by his conduct, behavior, attitude, nature. Gunataha Brahmanaha, Karmataha Brahmanaha, Jatitaha Brahmanaha, Gunataha Brahmanaha. The person who is a Brahmana by his very nature, by his attitude, by his behavior. So Guna Brahmanaha, a person may be by birth, Kshatriyaha, Brahmanaha, Shudraha, or Vaishyaha. If a person is 100% committed to live a life of dharma, if he performs all his activities with an attitude of offering, with an attitude as an offering to Bhagavan, then if he also has prasada buddhi in receiving the all situations, if his life is filled with Bhagavan, if he lives his life consciously in conformity with dharma, the one whose life is in tune with Bhagavan in the form of universal order, such a karma yogi is a Brahmanaha. Karma yogi is a Brahmanaha because he is what Brahmanaha? Guna Brahmanaha. So Shastram talks about a Guna Brahmana. Of course, talking about Guna Brahmanaha does not belittle Jati Brahmana or Karma Brahmana. Okay? Simply here, understand, anyone can uplift oneself to be, in spite of being born in any other varna also, one can uplift oneself to a Guna Brahmana. I mean, everybody is eligible for the attainment of Jnanam and Moksha, irrespective of one's background, one's birth, etc. That is what Upanishad wants to teach here. We need not worry, oh, I'm not born a Brahmana, therefore I can't attain Moksha. That's not true. What Shastram says here, whoever can uplift oneself by strictly following the Vedic way of life can become a Brahmana. So that's such a Brahmana, because of his intellectual sharpness, because of his alertness, because of his commitment to Dharma, because of his prayerfulness and worshipfulness, this person is very sure that he is able to understand the limitations of all accomplishments in life. All accomplishments in life. What are the accomplishments? Artha, kamaha, dharmaha. Except moksha. Anyone can pursue moksha. Dharma means punyam. This person knows the limitations of even accumulating abundance of punyam. Do right things by Vaidikam karma or by Laukikam karma, by performing, involving oneself in Ishtam karma and Purtam karma. Even performing different forms of rituals, worshipping Bhagavan, by performing so many pujas, so many prarayanams, and also contributing abundantly for social service activities. So all this good karma, of course, the person is very good karma. So the person definitely will earn abundance of punyam. When a person earns abundance of punyam, so the person definitely, abundance of punyam this person earns, that is dharma. So one must earn punyam in life, no choice. One must do only righteous actions. One must be ethical in life, one must earn punyam. But still, earning punyam itself should not become an end of life. Earning punyam and enjoying the benefits of earning punyam, enjoying the pleasures as a result of accumulating punyam, itself should not become the ultimate goal of one's life. So this person, because of his viveka, he is able to understand the limitations of punyam, limitations of enjoyment of pleasures, all forms of pleasures. He understands the limitations of sensory pleasures. He understands the limitations of intellectual pleasures also. Because very difficult to grow out of desire for intellectual pleasures. You know, very difficult to grow out of desire for intellectual pleasures. We all very much attached into. So this person grows out of desire for even intellectual pleasures, aesthetic pleasures. This person knows any pleasure, heavenly pleasures, worldly pleasures. He knows the limitations of all forms of pleasures. He knows the limitations of any amount of abundance of punyam. He knows the limitations of all forms of wealth, all forms of things which bless him, makes a person feel relatively secure. Artha, he knows the limitations of artha, kama, dharma. And then what can a person accomplish in this world by doing something or the other, whether a mundane activity or religious activity, secular or sacred, or meditation, whatever activity, action a person does, maximum he can earn only what is within the realm of relative ends, artha, kama, dharmas. So this is what this person understands, the limitations of all his artha, kama, dharmas, accomplishable as a result of one's activities, karma, analyzing all of them, lokaha, means what here? Karma palani. Kaman, pariksha lokan. Lokan, objective plural. Lokan, pariksha. Having thoroughly analyzed the limitations of the nature of, having analyzed thoroughly the nature of artha, kama, dharmas, results of karma, this person, nirvedam ayat. Nirvedam ayat. Means this person discovers dispassion. Means he becomes dispassionate towards all of them. Passionately he would have done. Passionately he would have earned all of them. But now, having analyzed all of them, he find out the limitations. How limited they are. I tell you one thing. Everything in this world, anything and everything which is here in this world, except the Atma, okay, except the abstract reality, consciousness implied by the term Atma, except the truth, everything in this world is subject to defects, being defective. Okay, what are the defects? Mainly, we can say, nothing in the world can bless a person with the pure pleasure unmixed with the pain. There's no such a thing called I enjoy only pleasure which is not at all associated, connected, mixed with the pain. Okay, to have any pleasure in the world, it's very important, okay, to have any pleasure in the world, one must go through some pain. There is some affliction. Without having gone through some strain, effort, struggle and pain, you can never enjoy any pleasure. You have to pay something in the form of pain to buy some pleasure. So there is no such a thing called, I just did this, I didn't know, it was very joyful for me to do everything and I also got a pleasure. No. So the whole jagat, everything in this world, anything enjoy in the world, that is what? That is a pleasure mixed with the pain. So there was no such a thing called enjoyment of pleasure in this world, and which is the pleasure which is not mixed with, associated with, connected with any pain at all. Involvement of pain is there. Definitely. Okay? This one defect. Second defect is, you see, even when you are dissatisfied with something and you want to do something more and get something more, achieve something more, become somebody, and you work very hard and you put all your possible efforts and you achieve what you want to achieve. If you become a failure in your efforts, then there will be dissatisfaction, frustration, and frustration plus dissatisfaction. Suppose you become successful also in your efforts, still after having achieved what you want to achieve also, and you don't seem to have become satisfied, you're without accomplishment, you were dissatisfied before. After accomplishment also, you continue to be dissatisfied. Why? That is the nature of any accomplishment in the world. Why? Because no achievement, no possession, no accomplishment in the world can make you full, make you a complete being. You are already a person of fullness. Therefore, as an incomplete person, whatever you achieve, you continue to be an incomplete person only. Nothing makes you a complete person of fullness. There's always sense of inadequacy, incompleteness, limitation, smallness, centered on I, irrespective of, in spite of whatever you have achieved. Therefore, there's always dissatisfaction. Okay. Everything in the world will keep you always dissatisfied. All your accomplishments, achievements, successes, failures, everything will always keep you dissatisfied. So dissatisfaction is something unavoidable with regard to any achievement in anything in the world. This is second defect. Means paripurna triptihi. Total satisfaction, absolute satisfaction, you can never have by achieving anything in the world. Only jnanam can bless you with absolute satisfaction. Okay, because why? Because anything achieved is subject to time. If at all you feel satisfied with some accomplishment, some achievement, and you can't hold on to it forever, that is subject to go. The satisfaction, relatively, temporarily, you feel satisfied with something and that will go away one day. You will lose because subject to go. Then satisfaction also will go along with it. So this is second defect, is dissatisfaction. So enjoyment of pleasure is mixed with the pain always. Then any accomplishment will leave you dissatisfied. There's no such a thing called absolute satisfaction. Enjoy it by possessing anything in the world. Second defect. Thirdly, is when you achieve so many things in life, you continue to enjoy them. And what happens? You become dependent on all those possessions and accomplishments. And without that, you cannot manage your life without that. Like phone, telephone, the small things. Imagine now, Swamiji used to say this. We convert our luxuries into necessity. We convert our luxury into necessity. First, we want to have things to be comfortable. Then what we want to, in order to be comfortable, we want to have things. And later on, they become our necessity. Which means you cannot live without that. Converting comforts into necessities. This is our nature. That's how we do. Therefore, what happens? And when you become dependent on anything you enjoy in life, then without that thing, you will be miserable. Isn't it? I told you in my recent talk, missing the enjoyment of something in the world is a misery. Isn't it? Not only that, and any amount of karma you do, whatever you have, any artha, kama, dharma, whatever you accomplish, you have to do karma to achieve that. Once you do karma, not only you accumulate arthakama dharmas in this world, you also earn simultaneously punya papam, which have to be exhausted. So you have to be born again, because it will not remove your ignorance. Therefore, karma and karma palam will retain you bound forever. Therefore, all of them are of the nature of binding. Is it clear? So bondage. All worldly accomplishments in terms of arthakama dharmas are connected with the bondage. Means they will keep you ever bound. They cannot free you from bondage. This is the third defect. Okay? So, if this is the situation, the person analyzes all his accomplishments, results of actions, results of even rituals, okay, living a life of karma yoga, or performing rituals, whatever he enjoyed, and performing worldly activities, or social service activities, whatever fame, name, popularity, anything he enjoyed, and even he analyzes the benefits of meditation, etc. In spite of having achieved so much also, even though they're all tremendously admired, subject to admiration, still he knows the limitations of all of them. Thereby, this person becomes dispassionate towards all of them. What I want in my life is absolute satisfaction, permanent peace of mind, and a non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness I want. I do not want dukkham at all. I do not want dukkham at all means what? Definitely, I want happiness. Which happiness? Not the happiness which comes and goes. If the happiness should not go, means it must already be there. It cannot have a beginning. So happiness, if it should not go at all, means it must be there always. Therefore, non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness I want. I want permanent peace of mind. I want absolute satisfaction. What is it which can give me that? Nothing in the world, artha, kama, dharmas, accomplishable as results of rituals, actions, and meditations or worldly activities cannot give me this, what I want in life. Okay? So, artha, kama, dharmas cannot give me what I want in life. They're all useful. Artha is useful. Kama is useful. Of course, dharma is very, very important. Still, they should not become my ultimate ends. So what I want is moksha, freedom from limitations, everlasting happiness. Then that freedom, freedom from limitations, happiness is accomplishable only as a result of jnanam. The permanent alone can give permanent happiness. What is permanent? Shastram says aksharam brahma. The imperishable is the reality. If reality is the imperishable, only the knowledge of that reality will, permanent reality, imperishable reality will bless me with the imperishable end, moksha. Everlasting end, moksha. And what is that imperishable reality when a person becomes interested? Is it clear? Passion for the knowledge of the truth helps him dispassionate towards other things. This is called what? Vivekena jatam vairagyam. It is a viveka. Because of this viveka, the discriminative understanding of limitations of the world, arthakama dharmas, and the greatness as knowledge, value of knowledge, this person becomes, discourse dispassion towards everything. Nirvedamayat brahmanaha. So, to brahmanaha, he is an intelligent person, a person of sharp intellect who is capable of learning from his life's experiences. Someone used to say, some people are like a buffalo. Buffalo goes and sits in a slush. It can never come out of it. How much of suffering they go through, still they are not able to come out of the slush of samsara. They because they're not sharp enough, they're duds. You must be sharp to learn from life's experiences to, you know, to become dispassionate. So, పరీక్ష లోకాన్ కర్మచితాన్ కర్మచితాన్ లోకాన్ పరీక్ష. లోకాన్ మీన్స్ వాట్? రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్స్. అర్థకామ ధర్మాస్ లోకాహ ఇంప్లైస్ అర్థ, నాట్ వర్డ్స్. యు కెన్ సే ఈవెన్ హయ్యర్ లోకాస్ అండ్ ప్లషస్. లోకాహ మీన్స్ ఆల్ అర్థకామ ధర్మాస్ earned, chitan, earned as results of mundane activities, religious rituals, practice of meditation by all one's possible efforts, the best of efforts. Karma means the best of efforts in terms of all forms of activities. Chitan, accumulated. Lokan, arthakama dharmas. Is it clear? కర్మచితాన్ అడ్జెక్టివ్ ఫర్ లోకాన్. కర్మచితాన్ లోకాన్ పరీక్ష థరలీ హ్యావింగ్ అనలైజ్డ్. బ్రాహ్మణ అన్ ఇంటెలిజెంట్ పర్సన్ డిస్కవర్స్ డిస్పాషన్ టువర్డ్స్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్. హీ గ్రోస్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ డిజైర్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్. నిర్వేదమాయాత్ బ్రాహ్మణ. దెన్ వాట్ డస్ హీ డూ? హీ వాంట్స్ టు నో. వెన్ అ పర్సన్ డిస్కవర్స్ డిస్పాషన్ టువర్డ్స్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్, the mind has to lean on something, it can't be by itself. Then the person discovers passion for jnanam. Okay, it's like Swamiji used to say, when a monkey is hanging, he's holding on to one branch of the tree, and the monkey jumps, leaves this branch, means it's holding on to another branch. Like this person also, what? This person's mind now holds on to the branch of jnanam. Is it clear? Then what does he do? It is said. And what is final important lesson he learns? Nasti akritaha kritena. Akritaha means mokshaha. The moksha which is only in the form of knowledge, the liberation, freedom, absolute happiness is in the form of the knowledge of the truth obtaining as one's own self. Therefore, knowledge, moksha, is not a result of an action. Therefore, moksha is implied by the term akritaha. Akritaha means mokshaha. Kritena nasti. Kritena means by some form of activity or the other, by accomplishing some form of result of any action, moksha is not possible. Is it clear? So moksha cannot be accomplished as a result of any karma, upasanam or anything. This is a very clear knowledge he has. So it's a difference I want to understand. Sometimes people make efforts. Listen to me carefully. People make efforts and they want to achieve something. But when their efforts are not adequate or appropriate, or because they're in incapacity, when they're not able to achieve something, they become frustrated. Because of the incapability, they give up pursuing something. That is called frustration. We have a story all of you must have learned this story when we were in kindergarten classes. The jackal goes and it sees some beautiful, nice, lots of these grapefruits hanging. And it tries to catch that, that the grapefruits are hanging very high. He's trying to get those grapes. And then he's not able to jumps and tries his best. He's not able to get those grapes. And what does the jackal do? The nari, she, this is very sour foods. I don't want this. I don't care for this. Not because the jackal didn't want the foods. It could not get it. So it becomes frustrated. It gives up its effort. That is not dispassion. Okay. There's only frustration born out of incapability. But here, this person understands. He achieved everything, analyzed them. Oh, these are all mixed with all these defects. All these so-called great achievements have these three defects. They're all mixed with the pain. nothing can give me pain-free pleasure. Nothing can really give me absolute satisfaction. Nothing can really free me from bondage. Everything is, everything contributes for bondage only. Therefore, knowing the limitations and defects, this person has grown out of desire for them. That is Viveka Jata Vairagyam. Vivekena Jatam Vairagyam. And thereby, then he knows it is, if there is something permanent, timeless, everlasting, and that alone can be the source of permanent happiness, absolute satisfaction. Therefore, what is that which is dosha rahitam? Everything dosha sahitam in this world. Everything in this world, all artha kamas, all karma palani, all results of actions, everything is dosha sahitam, dosha yuktam. Everything is with the dosham. What is that dosha rahitam? What is that nirdosham? Nirdosham hi samam brahma. The only thing in the world which is absolutely free from defects, okay, which is of the nature of fullness, happiness, limitlessness, which is of the nature of satisfaction, which is of the nature of absolute peace, okay, and that one is Brahma, is reality, Atma. And what is that reality? And the Shastram says, that nirdosham samam brahma you are. You who are searching for the happiness, you are that Brahma. You are that. Therefore, so kritena akritaha nasti. That means that akritaha, that mokshaha must be discovered as one's own surupam. Even though mokshaha is in the form of the reality. Like H2O is in the form of water, means what? You can't separate H2O and water. H2O is the surupam of the water. Similarly here, this abstract formless reality is of the nature of fullness. And being full is being limitless. Being limitless is being happy. Therefore, fullness is happiness. And which something to be discovered, something to be understood, something to be known, you cannot attain it. And Shastra, that reality, Brahma, is yourself. When Shastra, when the person who understands, because of his apatata jnanam, because of somewhere some exposure helps him to understand this fact, some punyam helps him to understand. Therefore, then what is that Brahman obtaining as my own sarupam? What is that permanent thing which is the only source of permanent, everlasting happiness and peace? Then this person wants to know. And when, as a highly prepared minded, now he is already, he has vivekaha, he has vairagyam. So this living a clean life of dharma blessed this person with viveka vairagyam. And not only that, he has discriminative understanding and he has dispassion. Now this person has a jignasa. Jignasa means the burning desire to discover what I am, what the truth is. If you were able to understand the truth already obtaining as yourself, you would have already understood. The very fact you continue to remain ignorant until this minute because you were not able to know your own surupam by yourself, which means there is a limitation. You cannot know your own surupam by yourself. Okay, at least you're fortunate enough to know that you do not know. One must be highly blessed and fortunate to know that I do not know. Suppose we do not know that you do not know, it's a problem. And if we do not know that you do not know that you do not know, but still if you think you know, then janganyamanaha paryanti mudaha. Okay. What happens? There's no way of knowing yourself, nor can you be taught by others. You will be stuck in samsara forever. Thank God, by punyam, this person knows what now. He wants to know. Therefore, tad vijnanartham, for discovering the truth, for knowing the truth, that reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude, which is permanent reality, vijnanartham, then he wants to know. He has a jignasa. And because of his desire to know, burning, ardent wish, desire to know, and what can he do? He cannot know himself. Jnanam is the only means of attaining fulfillment, attaining moksha. Because jnanam itself is identical with moksha. So vijnanartham. But how can you know? You need a pramanam. You need a pramanam. You need a valid, authentic means of knowledge. And the pramanam also must be properly operated. And here Vedanta Shastram is the pramanam. Upanishad study is the pramanam. And that also one must be taught. You cannot take the book and learn by yourself even if you have Sanskrita Jnanam. Many people think we don't need teachers. If you know the language, you can learn. No, that's not true. English language knowledge will not help you understand any physics book or mathematics book. They're great, you know, people who have tremendous knowledge in literature. Just because they know English language, they can't go and study physics and chemistry on their own. The subject matter is different. So language knowledge is a supportive to understand the subject matter, but language is itself is not enough. The subject matter must be understood thoroughly. Similarly, here also Vedanta Shastra Jnanam. Of course, Sanskrita Jnanam is important, but that itself is not enough. One must definitely go to the teacher. Okay? Saha Gurumeva Abhigacchad Vijnanartham, for discovering, for knowing that reality which is of the nature of infinitude. Okay, one must go to the teacher. Gurum eva abhig, gurum abhigachet eva. See, gurum eva abhigachet, that eva put afterwards. It depends where you put only, isn't it? One must go to the teacher only. One must definitely go to the teacher, means there's no choice. There's no choice. Eva shabda emphasizes the choice, no choice. Is it not possible to study on my own? No. Because we should not talk about people like Maharamana Maharshi, Vivekananda, Paramahamsa. They're all different people. I told you already in the Gita class. Okay, they all people who have already worked, gone to teachers, the Purva Janmas. So, general rule is what? Normal rule is, Gurumeva abhigachet. Abhigachet. The ling verb, potential mode verb. The chet, should, must. One must go to Guruhu. And who is the Guruhu? So Gurumeva abhigachet. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. See, we don't need to worry. Upanishad itself gives us the clue. Who is a teacher? Tad vijnanartham saha gurumeva abhigachet. He should go to the teacher only. He should not study the Upanishads by himself, by one's own self. One should not do self-enquiry independently. So, when Shastram says that reality Brahman is you, okay, let me understand what I am. Self-analysis, self-enquiry should not be done independently. One must approach it. One must make use of the Shastra Pramanam and with the help of the teacher. Okay. And he must be Shrotriha Brahmanishtaha. This is the Shrotriha Brahmanishtaha. Qualifications of a guru is are mentioned in another Upanishad. Who is the Kshatriya? Who is the Brahmanishtha? Brahmanishtha is the one, the person who has clear, doubt-free vision of the limitless reality implied by the term Brahman, obtaining as one's own Swarupam. The person who has clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the reality of the whole, obtaining as one's own Swarupam. He is the Brahmanishtha. And what the next qualification? It is not enough if the teacher is a Brahmanishtha. There are many, suppose people, there are who people whom we go and bow to them, they may be Brahmanishtas because of Janmantra Samskaras. Without studying the Shastram also, they might have become Brahmanishtas. And such people, mere Brahmanishtas can be inspiring gurus. You can go and bow to their feet. You can get their blessings. They can be source of inspiration for us. But they cannot give blessings with the Jnanam. It is, they must be Brahmanishtaha, also Kshatriyaha. What does mean Kshatriyaha? I mean, Kshatriyaha is the one who has profound knowledge in the Shastra. The person of profound knowledge of the Shastra is the one who would have studied the Shastram systematically, properly, regularly from a competent teacher for a length of time. And such a person knows all the methods of unfoldment of the reality inbuilt in the Shastram. There are many methods of unfoldment of the reality which are inbuilt in the very Shastram. The person who is exposed to the systematic study from a competent teacher also knows, he has profound knowledge of the Shastra, means he also understands all those different methods of unfoldment of the reality. Therefore, not only he becomes himself a Brahmanishtha, he is also capable of communicating the vision he has, transferring the vision he has to others through his communication. The person who has profound knowledge of the Shastram, as a student of another competent teacher, Sampradaya with the teacher, on most method of teaching methodology, Sampradaya with the teacher, this person also knows the different methods of unfoldment of the reality. Thereby, the person is capable of transferring his wisdom, vision of the reality to the student through his communication. He is a Kshatriya. Is it clear? Brahmanishtaha, Kshatriya. Brahmanishtam, Kshatriyam, Gurumiva, Abhigachet, Abhigachet. It is said in another Upanishad. Now here Upanishad says, so tadvijnanartham saha, that's the person, as a mature individual that who is dispassionate towards Arthakama Dharmas, whose passion is only for Jnanam, whose only ultimate end is only Moksha, that person approaches, should go to the teacher. Now how should he go? How a person should approach a teacher? Shastram teaches us, okay? We can't take a phone, people call, and I want tuition class. Okay, will you be able to teach? Even no teacher, even physics, chemistry, mathematics, no teacher should be approached like that. There must be proper method, isn't it? Any teacher of any subject matter must be revered. Our Shastra, the Vedic culture teaches this. Said, Samit Panihi, Gurumeva Abhigachet, Kidrasham Gurum, Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Look at this. Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Gurumeva Abhigachet. This person should go to the teacher who is Shrotriyaha, who is Brahmanishtaha. I told you, who is the Brahmanishtaha, who is a Shrotriyaha. This teacher must have both qualifications. Okay. Now, how can I know whether he is the Brahmanishtaha or not? How can I know he is Shrotriyaha or not? You cannot go and test. So, Swamiji used to sell this. You go and listen to the teaching. And the teaching must be systematic. The teaching must be such that you see the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. The teaching does not, should not contradict your reasoning. Then you will just gradually, you can see if the teaching does not contradict your reasoning, gradually as the teacher unfolds the subject matter step by step, systematically, you will see your own clarity getting enhanced. So your own enhancement of clarity, the joy you enjoy as a result of enhancement of clarity and non-contradictory teaching is the proof for you that you are with the right teacher. Okay? Anyway, that's why you must pray to Bhagavan also to bless you with a good teacher. Okay. And Samit Panihi, this person goes, Samit Panihi. Samit means actually small sticks, small twigs used during the performance of rituals to offer into the fire as fuel. Samit means is gas, that which makes the fire burn well. Indhanam means fuel. Samid means the fuel. Okay? Fuel in the form of small twigs. So those days ashrams must be there in some places. And as the student walks to the teacher, and he doesn't need to go and buy anything with the money. So he can just pick up some twigs on the way. He can take them. At least he takes something in his hands. Is it clear? To offer. When the person goes, he doesn't go empty-handed. He goes with a samid, small twigs, and then the small sticks, which he must have picked up from and under the trees. He takes them, makes a small bundle and takes them to the teacher. Because that will be used by the teacher during the performance of rituals to offer as oblations. Okay? To kindle fire also, it will be very useful. Therefore, this person goes with a great reverence, taking a bundle of twigs, Samit Panihi, in his hands. Pani means hand. Samit Pano Yasya. Ha Samit Panihi. As the one holding a bundle of twigs in his hand, this person approaches the teacher who is Brahmanishtaha, who is Shrotriyaha. Who is Shrotriyaha? I told you already, the person of profound knowledge of Shastram, who has understood all teaching methods of unfoldment, thereby who is capable of transferring his vision and wisdom to the student through his communication, is Shrotriyaha. Is it clear? Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam Gurumeva Samitpani Abhigachet. Okay. Then what happens? Very nice. Next verse. Tasmai Savidvan Upasannaya Samyak. Tasmai Savidvan Upasannaya Samyak. Prashanta Chittaya Shamanvitaya. The beautiful qualifications are given here. Tasmai Savidvan Upasannaya Samyak Prashanta Chittaya Shamanvitaya Yenaksharam Purusham Veda Satyam Yenaksharam Purusham Veda Satyam Provachatam Tatvato Brahma Vidyam. You must make a note where I'm putting comma. Okay. Provachatam tatvato brahma vidyam. Tasmai savidvan upasannaya samyak. Tasmai savidvan upasannaya samyak. Tasmai savidvan upasannaya samyak. Prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya. Prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya. Prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya. Yenaksharam புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ஏனாட்சரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் whenever I think of this ஸ்ரோத்ரியம் பிரம்மனிஷ்டம் for me just Swamiji stands in front of me you know known way I am so thankful to Bhagavan to bless me with a great teacher like Swamiji there's only one thing which makes me emotional nothing else okay ஏனாட்சரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ஏனாட்சரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ப்ரோவாச்சதாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் தஸ்மை ச வித்வான் உபசன்னாய சம்யக் பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய பிரசாந்த சித்தாய சமான்விதாய ஏனாக்ஷரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ஏனாக்ஷரம் புருஷம் வேத சத்யம் ப்ரோவாச்சதாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் ப்ரோவாச்சதாம் தத்வதோ ப்ரஹ்ம வித்யாம் ஓகே நவ் திஸ் பர்சன் மஸ்ட் அப்ரோச் டீச்சர் ஹூ இஸ் பிரம்மனிஷ்டா ஸ்ரோத்ரியா And how should the teacher respond to this person, the student who has approached him? No teacher can ever say no to the student. Okay, if the student is not qualified, the teacher will make him do some work for him, make him stay in the Ashgurukulam and make him do something to help him to grow, to prepare himself. If he is ready, Uttama Sisha, immediately he'll start teaching also. Why? Because the Guruhu and the Shastram are not two different things. Because the Guruhu is the one who is already Brahmanishtaha Shrotriha means. At least the person, Veda Matan, the core vision of this Shastram has gone into the teacher's mind. Now, Shastra, vision of the Shastram, even if the person does not know every word of the Veda Shastram, still the vision of the Shastram is in the mind of the teacher. Therefore, the teacher has Shastram in his mind means the teacher is the Shastram in the form of the human being. Therefore, and Veda Shastram is said to be Shruti, is said to be Mata, Mother. Why? Because mother knows the needs of the child. Emotional, the biological needs of the child, mother knows. Accordingly, the mother feeds the child and takes care of the child's needs. The mother does not wait for the child to feel hungry. When should I give the food? All that. Mother knows the needs of the child. And the mother feeds the child accordingly, takes care of physical well-being. Shruti Mata takes care of the emotional well-being of a human being. Because where the physical, biological mother cannot help, there Shruti Mata comes into the picture. Okay? Biological mother can take care of her biological needs, but Shruti Mata comes to help us, bless us with the emotional well-being. Because dissatisfaction is a problem. Sickness, mental sickness, and missing the enjoyment of things in the world, misery is a problem. And the sense of smallness is a problem. Inadequacy is a problem. So this all, and these only contribute for kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. It is not that we want to have all those emotions. Help, we are not holding on to, Swamiji used to say beautifully, we are not holding on to kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. They are holding on to us. If we are holding on to them, it is very easy to just ditch them and go away. Unfortunately, we are not holding on to them. They are holding on to us. So we have to free ourselves from the clutches, from the hold of kama, krodha, lobha, mahamoda, moha, mada, matsarya. Means we have to resolve the very ignorance which is the cause of those. If we free ourselves from the hold of ignorance in the wake of, by discovering the truth, then once ajnanam goes, along with ajnanam, ignorance caused, the samsara, the problems also will resolve. When the disease goes, disease causes symptoms also will resolve. Therefore, what he says, this, the teacher also, being the shastram, having the vision of the shastram, The teacher is also as compassionate as the Shruti Mata, knows what exactly any student needs. Okay. Just Vedanta teacher need not, however rich or, that's why people have complaints, okay? The people who go to the Vedanta Shastra teacher may be a poorest person, rich person, richest person, because only people who are mature individuals who have discovered this problem, they alone can approach the teacher. And all of them, see, externally, how they are blessed with that doesn't matter. Emotionally, all of them are in the same, you know, boat. Therefore, all of them need only the knowledge. And the, again, the maturity, the preparation of the mind, the people must be of different levels of mental preparation also. The teacher understands all of them. So does the needful. Because of his compassion, he knows. All of them only ultimately need clear vision of the truth. And for which some may need to prepare yet. Some may be ready for listening. Even if they are listening also, still they must take care of their ragadvishas. So he knows. Therefore, the teacher knowing the emotional need of the student, and the teacher alone has the medicine. That is why every teacher is called Bhishak. Bhavaroga Bhishak. Bhishak means doctor, I told you many times already. Bhavaroga Bhishak is doctor. Vaidyanatha Swami Dakshinamurti. Guru Dakshinamurti is Vaidyanatha Swami for us. The doctor is, yesterday we learned, Vaidyo Narayano Harihi. So in Sanskrit class. So Bhagavan is the doctor and medicine is Jnanam. And the Jnanam is symbolized by Ganga Jalam. Okay? Ganga Jalam means Janavi Toyam. Yesterday we saw in our class. Ganga Jalam symbolizes Vedic wisdom. That is why the knowledge is the medicine for us. Jnanam is Aushadam, Bheshajam. Dr. Bhishak, Guru is the Bhishak. And here we say, and teacher also, Samyak Upasannaya. Samyak Tasmai Samyak Upasannaya. To that student who is who has the jignasa, who has vivekaha, who has vairagyam, who has discriminative understanding, who has dispassion, such a person has approached him properly. Samyak, well. Samyak is an adverb, means well. Upasannaha means approached. Tasmai samyak upasannaya. To that person, student, who has approached him properly, well, means with reverence, not simply reverence means reverence to the teacher because of his tremendous reverence for the knowledge and the shastram. This person has approached. I mean, this person has mentally surrendered himself to the shastram as a shruti, as the mother. Such a person, when a person goes to teacher with respect for Shastra, the teacher can teach also. Therefore, Samyak Upasannaya, to that person who has approached him well with reverence for Shastram as the Pramanam, and teacher as the one who lives the Shastram, and that person, not only that, he is also qualified. Why? Because he says, Prashanta Chittaya. Upasan prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya samyak upasannaya, to that teacher, to that student who approached him properly, the teacher taught him Brahma Vidya. Okay? This teacher student approached him, the teacher taught such a student Brahma Vidya. Which student? Kidrusha Chatraha. Samyak Upasannaha, he approached him properly, expressing his tremendous reverence for Shastram and the Guru. And there was politeness, there was ardent craving, desire for Jnanam, the Jignasa on his part. Not only that, he is a Shama Anvitaha. Shama, Shamena Anvitaha, Shama Anvitaha, Shama Anvitaha. The one who was endowed with the qualification of Shamaha. One who was endowed with the discipline of Shamaha. He had the discipline of Shamaha, means he was highly disciplined, having Shamaha. Shama Anvitaha, Shamattai Udevanaha. He had Shamaha means what? He had mastery over his ways of thinking. He has mastery over his mind. He has mastery over his thoughts. He was the one who was able to manage his all his thoughts very well. He was the person of perfect, the person of mind management. Okay, the person manage his mind very well. The person who is capable of managing his mind is the one who is capable of managing all his emotions. The person who has mastery over his ways of thinking, which means this person's will is surrendered to Bhagavan in the form of Dharma. He cannot go against Dharma at all because he has mastery over his ways of thinking. Is it clear? It means no disease can rise in his mind. Raga dveshas may be there in his mind. He is not absolutely pure minded. He has all emotions. Like Ajnani, this person also must be have. He is still Ajnani. He also has the problems of any other Ajnani. He has anger. He has likes and dislikes. He has jealousy. He has hatred. But he is able to manage all of them because of his commitment to Dharma. Therefore, he's a disciplined-minded, relatively disciplined-minded, is said to be Shamanvitaha. Is it clear? He's already entered the discipline of Shamaha. Then, Prashanta Chittaha. So, these two words imply, state that this student who approached the teacher is already he has relative mental preparation. He has adequate purification and he is adequately steady also. Prashanta Chittaha means Antakarna Naischalyam. He had Antakarna Naischalyam. He has Antakarna Shuddhi. Shamanvitaha means he has Antakarna Shuddhi. And Prashanta Chittaha means he has mental steadiness. Antakarna Naischalyam. Because he was given to the discipline of meditation as a vanaprasthi, or you can say even he's living a worshipful, prayerful life in conformity with Dharma as a karma yogi, definitely will bless a person with prashantihi. Prashanti means what? Prashanta Chittaha means the one who is of the peaceful, relatively tranquil mind. Relatively tranquil minded. He is not absolutely tranquil minded. Only in jnanam he will become absolutely pure and tranquil minded. But now he is relatively mentally steady and pure. Is it clear? Shamanvitaha, and he is also Prashanta Chittaha. The one who has one whose mind is serene, tranquil, calm, relatively. How is it possible? Because this person, because of his vairagyam, because of his dispassion towards all of them, no more passion towards worldly things, desires do not rise and disturb him. Because of his viveka, this person has the understanding of limitations of everything. Therefore, he has grown out of desire for those objects. Therefore, naturally, the less desires are, there's anger also is less. He still has anger and likes and dislikes, but still they're all, because the vairagyam blesses a person with prashantihi, relative tranquility, relative serenity. Okay, vairagyam. And vairagyam is blessed by viveka. Viveka is blessed by his understanding of the facts. Understanding of the fact is possible because of his sharpness. The sharpness is possible because he lived a clean life of dharma. Is it clear why Shastra emphasizes dharma so much? Otherwise we'll be raw-headed. The mind, the insensitive, grass mind has to become subtle and sharp mind. Only living a life of karma yoga in conformity with dharma will help a person convert his gross mind into a refined mind, subtle mind. So as a refined person, as a person of refined personality, now because of his viveka vairagyam, and because, you know, this person is blessed with adequate serenity. He is not absolutely serene-minded, relatively, adequately, calm, tranquil, serene-minded. And he is also shama anvita. He also has mastery over his emotions, who is relatively pure, relatively steady. He has adequate antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naischalyam. Is it clear? To such a student, prashanta chittaya, shama anvitaya, samyak upasannaya. Look at this. You must remember, adjective agrees with the noun in number, gender and case form. Remember now, kidrushaya sishyaya, guruhu brahma vidyam provacha. The teacher taught brahma vidya to the student who was samyak upasannaha, prashanta chittaha, shama anvitaha. Is it clear? See, all now adjectives also in fourth case. Shama, shama anvitaya, prashanta chittaya, samyak upasannaya, sishyaya, guruhu provacha. Guru taught. What did he teach? He taught brahma vidyam. Tam brahma vidyam provacha. The guru taught that knowledge of absolute reality. Implied knowledge of the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, known as Brahma Vidya. This teacher imparted Brahma Vidya to such a Sishya. And Kidrashim Brahma Vidyam, that Brahma Vidyam by which, well, it must have been Yaya, but here we have Yena. Yena means what? Yaya Brahma Vidyaya. We should not question Veda, okay? Yena means Yaya Brahma Vidyaya. The teacher imparted that knowledge of Brahman by which the person Veda, the person knows Satyam Aksharam Purusham Veda. By which the person discovers imperishable, all pervasive reality, satyam, the reality, by which the person discovers, Veda discovers. So the teacher imparted that Brahma Vidya. Tattvataha. Tattvataha means what? Exactly how it should be imparted. Using all proper methods of unfoldment, thereby, that Brahma Vidya by which this person discovers what? Aksharam Purusham Satyam. This person discovers the ultimate true Satyam, absolute reality Satyam, and which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, Purusham, Aksharam, which is absolutely imperishable. Is it clear? This person discovers the reality, Satyam, and which is absolutely imperishable. Aksharam, Satyam, Purusham, Veda. The teacher imparted the knowledge, the student had the vision. There was transference of vision of the truth from the mind of the teacher to the student through his communication. Is it clear? The reality is implied by the term Purushaha. Why here all masculine gender? Purushaha, Aksharaha, okay? But Brahma also we say. Why? Because Purusha is a masculine gender word. Because Pure Ushati iti Purushaha. This absolute reality, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is implied by the term Brahma. See, the reality is implied by the term Brahma only in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Why? Brihat Brahmatvat, Brahmatvat, Brahma. Is it clear? And that reality, this person discovers obtaining as one's own Swarupam. Because of the communication, imparting of the teaching. Is it clear? Then how the teacher teaches, we'll see. That's going to be later on. None. So the teacher imparted the knowledge by which this person discovers the truth. How did the teacher teach, impart the teaching? How did the student got the understanding? That is going to be in the following chapter. Is it clear? But at least a good big ending is what? Teacher taught, the student has the vision, wisdom. What was the teaching? How was the teaching imparted? That's going to be, now we're all going to be with the Shaunaka. And Rishi Angiri is going to teach all of us. Is it clear? But the reality is implied by the term Purusha because two reasons. Sarvam Purayati Iti Purushaha. That which fills everything because of its nature of all pervasiveness, reality is Brahman is known as Purushaha. Then Pure Ushati Iti Purushaha, that which resides reality being all pervasive, being limitless, obtains in every being as the very core truth, as the or Swarupam, essential nature. Therefore, reality is known by the term Purushaha. Then Satyam, Satyam is what? The truth. So that which is always there without beginning and end, without undergoing any change, is Satyam. The reality. Okay? The truth. And Aksharam. Aksharam means what? Na Ksharati Iti Aksharam, which you've already seen the meaning. Na Ksharati Iti Aksharam means that which does not perish. The reality does not perish means it is of the nature of imperishability because it's the only truth. There's no everything else in the world other than the truth is dependent on the truth for its existence. Anything and everything other than the truth is dependent on the very truth for its very existence. Therefore, nothing in the world can do perish, contribute for the perishing of the reality. Is it clear? So reality is absolutely imperishable, beginningless, endless, changeless, absolute reality implied by the term Brahman, which fills everything, pervading everything, which alone obtains as the truth of every individual being, as the content of every I, that Brahman, that reality a person knows. Yena Veda Purusham Aksharam Aksharam Purusham Veda Aksharam Purusham Aksharam Satyam Purusham Veda Tam Brahma Vidyam Tattvataha Provacha. Provacha means imparted. Is it clear? Let us see the last mantra again. Tasmai. So Tasmai Vidwan. So here, see, please make a note. Vidwan Vidwam Sahaptur. Vidwan, in the previous Samma mantras, I told you the word Vidwan means Upasakaha, meditator. But in this 13th mantra, the word Vidwan means a Brahma Jnani, a wise person who has the clear vision of the truth. So Vidwan means a person who has the knowledge of the truth. Vidwan also means the person who is meditates. But you must know the word is used in which context. So in this verse, the Vidwan means the teacher who is a Shrotriya, is a Brahmanishtaha. Is it clear? Okay. Let us see the mantra. Tasmai sa vidwan, saha vidwan, sa vidwan. Visarga sandhi, visarga got dropped. Why? You must find out in the class. Tasmai sa saha vidwan, that teacher, that wise person was approached. Whom this person approached, taught this person who approached him properly, and who was relatively tranquil-minded, steady-minded, who also had master over his ways of thinking, taught him that Brahma Vidya appropriately and with all teaching methods of unfold, using all teaching methods of unfoldment, the Brahman by which this person discovered the absolute imperishable reality, obtaining as one's own Swarupam. The reality which fills everything, which is there as one's own Swarupam. Okay. Tasmai savidvan upasannaya samyak prashanta chittaya shamanvitaya yenaksharam purusham veda satyam provachatam tattvato brahma vidyam. Om. Any questions? So we'll start next class will be now how Rishi Angiras taught Brahma Vidya to Shaunakaha. All preparations are over. Very beautiful the development of the teaching in this Upanishad. I can understand the genius teacher like Swamiji. He chose the Mundakopanishad as the first Upanishad to be taught for students. Upanishad study, one must study first Mundakopanishad according to Pooja Swamiji. Because it gives presence everything, all preparations. Swamiji, see, now so many teachers are there. They're preparing the modules, which should be taught first, which should be correct things. See, we are not going to Shankara Mattams and sitting and studying under the Acharyas, great tremendous scholars. But still, we are enjoying the best of teaching, how Pooja Swamiji has, even though everything is, not, Swamiji has not created this. But still, the teaching module, everything, that is something unique what Swamiji has done. People start with Ishavasya Upanishad sometimes, because tradition, they say, of course, Swamiji had tremendous reverence for his tradition. He was very, very 100% committed to tradition. At the same time, the very tough, what should the Upanishad, what is that one must study first? What one must understand, the steps, this, one must go step by step, means, so one must not leap, so that one will have, and everybody can understand everything properly. If we go systematically step by step, understanding will be very correct, it will be easy, proper also. That is why, okay, next class I'll tell you, not the time now. Om. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.